Good morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be with you all again, to worship together, and to visit the church here at Cumberland. I enjoyed being here in the Sunday school discussion, and it's always an inspiration to me to hear men study and to teach on a subject and to stretch our minds. For a message this morning, you can open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Rotating schedule is kind of an interesting situation. Sometimes when you are asked to go to another church and share, there's a topic given, and I don't know how you all find it when you go somewhere and the slate's sort of wide open. What do you share on? What do we need? So I plan to share this morning on something that spoke to my heart, and I know there's lessons here for me, and I hope that you can be encouraged and challenged as well. I do want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning, the one who hung on the cross and in agony said, "I thirst." And two Saturdays ago, I think some of you all were part of the program there at Altoona, but the song "I Thirst" stood out to me and challenged me. The song is about the miracles that Christ performed, the turning the water to wine by the one who said, "I am the vine." He's the one who holds the ocean in its place. He's the one who sends the dew at night, the song says, the Bible says. He's the one who poured the cup at the Last Supper. But yeah, as he was hanging there on the cross, some of his last words were, "I thirst." So there hung a man who was God. Yet, he had all of creation at his command. We saw that when he was out on the sea. He calmed the storm. Yet as he hung there on the cross, he said, "I thirst." I just want to read these verses from John 19. He says, after he had made arrangements for his mother, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus had therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And in this proclamation of Christ, "I thirst," we see his humanity. Jesus was creator of all, yet taking on the limitations of the created. Because thirst is a universal reality for creation. We get thirsty. Yesterday I was turkey hunting and we were climbing this mountain and started to dry out, needed something to drink. Everything in life that has life is dependent upon water. We need water to live. Plants, trees, animals. One of my friends was over in Jordan, and he had some pictures on his status of the desert. Just completely dry and lifeless. The only thing that's there is rocks, pretty much. The Bible says that even the ground can be thirsty, according to Isaiah 35, verse 7. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later. But plants, trees, insects, anything that has cell life requires water to live. Water is essential to life. That's how cells function. And without that water, cells begin to die. We know what it's like to experience thirst, and we do whatever we can to avoid it. This time of year, depending on what you do for work, maybe you put away the quart jar and you get out the gallon jug. Because we start to sweat, we start to need a lot of water, and those small water bottles are not enough. That's physical thirst. But this morning I'd like to think about spiritual thirst. And I apologize, I have my notes backwards here, so let me get this turned around. So I'm in order here. Let's go this way. I had them all in order, but they're all mixed up. There we go. As humans, we can only go about 3 days without water. And when someone is on their deathbed and they stop drinking water, we know that it's not very long until they are going to pass on. And even for us today, even going a couple hours without water, we start to get thirsty, especially when it's warm out, and it starts to have an effect on us. Maybe we get a headache or we start to feel fatigued, and we all experience and recognize physical thirst. But like I said, this morning we want to think about spiritual thirst, and maybe we don't even think about it as thirst. But if you're like me this past week, maybe it's in those quiet moments we reach out for something, right? Maybe maybe you didn't have any quiet moments. Maybe we're too busy to have quiet moments. And I think Satan's okay with that as well. But what I'm talking about is this desire within us. And sometimes we don't even know specifically what that desire is. We just desire something. Maybe you're just sitting there and it's quiet and you pull out your smartphone and just start swiping around on it. Maybe it's a desire for acceptance. Maybe it's a desire to be successful. Maybe it's a desire for the forbidden, which we know is lust. And this thirst that I'm talking about can be described as this desire in our life for something that we feel like we're missing. We feel that void in our life, and we try to fill it up. This morning, as I was driving south, there was a lot of side-by-sides on trailers headed north. I don't know where they're going, but those folks are filling a void in their life. They're going to do something that they enjoy, that they feel like is fun. It is fun to ride, but they're fulfilling that void in their life. This morning, the question I have in our sermon this morning is, how are we filling that void that we all have? That thirst that we all have, how are we filling it? I want to invite you to read here in Isaiah chapter 12. We want to read the entire chapter. It's just 6 verses. And I think we'll stand to read this passage of Scripture. And I want to invite you to join me in reading the first 2 verses and then stay standing while I finish reading the chapter. And we will we'll pull a few thoughts from this passage. So Isaiah chapter 12, I invite you to stand and read with me the first 2 verses. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Thank you. You can be seated. Do you feel like shouting this morning? Praise God, this thirst that we're talking about this morning, not our physical thirst, but our spiritual thirst, can be quenched, and it tells us here in verse 3 exactly where this thirst can be quenched. It can be satisfied. I would like to use verse 3 as a text verse this morning, as well as a title for our sermon. Water out of the well of salvation is a title I've chosen this morning. Water out of the well of salvation. There's a lot of places that we can go to for our thirst, but there is only one place that thirst can be satisfied, and that's right here at water out of the well of salvation. The word salvation here is used 3 times in this passage, and it means something saved, deliverance, or saving health. So this great thirst that humanity has is satisfied by the one who said, "I thirst." And that paradox caught my attention as I thought about that. It was in that thirst of Christ, the emptying of himself, his death on the cross, that this well of salvation was opened to us. As the song says, "In his great thirst, he brought water to me." And I think we could probably understand this verse more easily if water was not so readily available to us. When we get thirsty, we just go to the sink, we grab a glass, we turn the faucet on, cool, fresh water comes pouring out, we hold our cup under it, we fill it up, and we drink it down. And if it's not that, we have called Martin's, and they come over and put a filter system on it for us, and we get that clean water. But water, as we experience it, is a relatively modern convenience. It's only in the last maybe 100 or 120 years that this has been a convenience, where water is pumped out of the ground by electric pumps and into houses. It's relatively modern. For thousands of years, and even in some cultures today, getting the water supply for the family for the day was a daily chore. And we have glimpses of this activity throughout the Bible. We have Eliezer finding a wife for Isaac, Jacob and Rebecca. We know the woman of Samaria. Even in Bangladesh today, you see this, right, Donald? There's people going to the well, they're pumping that water out, and they're taking it back home. And life surrounds this well in a physical sense in the Bible, as well as even some cultures today. It's a life-sustaining activity. They take this water home, and that's how there's water supplied for the family. And this morning, we have the opportunity to have our thirst quenched, our spiritual thirst quenched at this well of salvation. Just like the physical well replenishes us and takes care of our physical thirst. It's the only place that our thirst can be satisfied. It's coming to this well of salvation. But is that where we always go to have our thirst quenched? I think we know that we have a problem with this. And I'd like to pull a story out of Jeremiah chapter 2. So turn over a couple pages to Jeremiah chapter 2. We know that God's speaking to the through the prophet of Jeremiah here, and he's rebuking Israel for turning away from him. And I want to pull a thought from verse 13. He says, "For my people," Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." And I can relate to this sin that Israel committed. They turned away from God, the one who was their only source of living water, and they turned to the things that they created, the cisterns that they had dug, the cisterns that they had made to provide the physical water for them. Here God is making this analogy: you've turned away from me and turned to your own devices, your own source for water. I know that I find myself in this situation sometimes. There's things that Satan introduces to us to try to quench that thirst in our lives, and they end up being empty. Maybe it's Satan's music. Maybe it's YouTube video. We take sips from these things. And maybe it even satisfies us for a little bit, but we end up having to go back and get more. Maybe it's a lustful thought we allow to linger. We're just going to take a sip. Maybe it's a personal purity issue. We're just going to take a little sip. And then we begin to start drinking from that. And it does not meet that need in our life. And those things we sort of put out there, right? But maybe it's even a legitimate thing. And this is where it came close to home as I thought about what fountain am I drinking from? Where am I getting my thirst quenched? Maybe it's something as legitimate as work. maybe we have a business where it's to provide for our needs, but when we use that to quench our thirst, there always needs to be a little bit more, right? Maybe it's get a new truck. Well, then we need another new truck. And we just need to keep adding to that fleet, because that's how we're quenching our thirst. Maybe it's something like hunting. Nothing wrong with hunting, right? But if that's how we're quenching this thirst, there's never going to be a big enough trophy. We kill one with 12 points. Well, we need to kill one with 14 next year. So we have to go farther away to make sure that we're getting those big deer. Or maybe it's something as refreshing as camping. We can all enjoy camping. But if that's how we're quenching our thirst, then we need to do more and more and more camping. And you fill in the blank for whatever it is in your life. But for me, those things caught my attention. Is this how we're fulfilling our thirst? And even in some very legitimate things. I'd like to suggest this morning that these are the empty cisterns, the things that have cracks, and they're dry. And when we keep coming back for more, we're disappointed time and time again. How are we quenching this thirst this morning, our spiritual thirst? Satan doesn't care what it is, as long as it's not the well of salvation. He doesn't care what it is. And I brought a little object lesson along this morning to maybe help cement this in our minds. I brought a few drink options this morning. And if you know me, you know I like to drink coffee. And we enjoy that, getting up in the morning and going out, maybe sitting on our porch and sipping a cup of coffee. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're thirsty and we're hot, a cup of coffee, I'd probably still enjoy it. But there's nothing like a cup of fresh water, right? That we can drink and quench our thirst. My point here that I want to make with these different drink options is maybe some of them are even okay and they're enjoyable, but they don't quench that thirst. Maybe it's a energy drink, quick shot of energy, and it gives us that boost we need to keep going. But if this is what we're quenching our thirst with at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, probably going to get sick. I don't know what all would happen to us if that's the only thing that we drink. Maybe we even grab a Gatorade. It says thirst quencher right on the side of it. But if this is the only thing that we drink, again, we're going to get sick, possibly even die eventually, if this is the only thing that we drink. And I have one more here. Imagine maybe you're on a deserted island and there's nothing to drink. Maybe you have, this is the only thing that's on the shelf. That would probably quench your thirst for a little bit. But we know that it would be better to die of thirst than to even sip on Roundup, because we know what would happen to us if we drank that. We know which ones are good for us and which ones are bad in a physical sense, but do we always know how to sort these things in a spiritual sense? Sometimes it's easy to turn to the things that offer that quick refreshment, but doesn't quench our thirst. Some of these examples I have here might not kill us right away, but if that's the only thing we drink, we would get very sick and possibly even die from it. The question I'd like for us to think about this morning is, where are we drinking from? Where am I drinking from? How am I quenching this thirst that humanity has? This morning, we saw in Isaiah chapter 12, we have the water out of the well of salvation. The water that quenches our thirst, it Well, we're going to look at what it does here. We have 5 points this morning about the water out of the well of salvation. You could turn back to Isaiah chapter 12. It says, verse 3, I want to use it as our text verse this morning. It says, "Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the well of salvation." First point I have is the well of salvation is an inviting place. Water draws us. Last night we were at a park with some family, and I was playing ball, and I stepped off to the side and was doing some studying by a creek. There was water flowing down past over some rocks, made a nice sound. It's so relaxing. We're drawn to that. The well of salvation draws us. It's an inviting place. We know Psalms 23 says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." It's a place of refreshment. It's an inviting place. It's open to all. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." This well of salvation is open to everyone. It's open to all, and it's an invitation to come. Revelation chapter 22 says, I'm just going to read that. You can turn there if you want to. Revelation 22 verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." There's not a person here this morning that is not good enough to drink from this well of salvation. And there's not a person here that doesn't need it. We all need it. And we can find this refreshment here at this water that comes from the well of salvation. Number two, the well of salvation is abundant. We kind of referred to this earlier. We saw it in Revelation 22 there. It says, "Come and drink freely." But we don't have to worry about going to this well and there not being enough water there for us. There's going to be enough water here at the well of salvation for us to meet our need, to have our souls refreshed. We used to have a well that we had to be careful how much water we used out of it, because it wasn't deep and it wasn't a very good well and couldn't use very much out of it. That's not how the well of salvation is here. When we're thirsty, we can come to it, we can drink, we can satisfy our thirst, and there's going to be enough for David, and there's going to be enough for Keith and Aldwin, and just keep going back. All of us here, and not just here, the whole world, there's enough here that we can drink out of this well of salvation. I love the picture in Isaiah chapter 44. If you're in Isaiah 12, it doesn't take very much to turn over there, so why don't you turn to Isaiah 44, and I want to read the first four verses here. The well of salvation is abundant. There's plenty there. Isaiah 44, verse 1 says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." I love this picture here of a person who is thirsty. And the picture that comes to my mind is in Bangladesh. One day I was walking into town, and there was a disabled person, beggar, sitting there in the hot sun. And he couldn't help himself in any way. He just had a little bowl there for people to put money in. And it was a warm day. And as I walked past, I had a water bottle with me. And he was looking up at me, and I just poured some water. He couldn't hold any cup or anything. His arms were disfigured. And I just poured some water into his mouth. As he turned his head up, I poured some water into his mouth. And just the smile that came onto his face, and as he drank that water in and it quenched his thirst, that's sort of the picture I get here. But the water I had in my bottle, I could just quench his physical thirst with. But this picture I have of this person here, when the water is poured on them, I will pour my water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I get this picture of water just meeting the needs of the thirst, and then there's more yet, and it just runs down, and it starts to pool up on the ground. And it says here that there will be a flood upon the dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and the blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up among the grass. And where do willows grow? Willows grow by wet in wet, swampy soil. And that's where willows pop up. And I get this picture of the thirst being met, and there just being water all around until it's actually like a marsh around the person. And that's how this well of salvation is. It's just, there's just so much here that it quenches our thirst and goes above and beyond that. Psalm 107 verse 35 says, "He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs." And he takes these dry places where there is no water, and he turns them into productive places, places that plants can grow, and it's a blessing to those around it. So the well of salvation is abundant. And number three, the well of salvation satisfies. We've been referring to this all morning, but Psalm 36, 7 and 9 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." So many of the things that we turn to do not satisfy us. We think they will. We think that this is going to refresh us. Or maybe even we're tempted to think that this is going to refresh us. But we end up being thirsty, don't we? That's not how it is with the well out of the water out of the well of salvation. It satisfies our need. And I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. Such a beautiful story here. There's so many things that we could pull out of this passage of Scripture. But let's start reading in verse 7, and we'll read through verse 14, and then we'll jump down and read verse 28. So John chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Then the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." We know how the story went on, where she said, "Give me this water," and Jesus said, "Go call your husband." We know the interaction that they had there. But down in verse 28, it says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come and see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" We're thinking about the well of salvation satisfying us. So we have this woman who came to this well, and I believe she had two thirsts in her life. She had the spiritual thirst, and she also had a physical thirst. And She came to this well to meet her physical needs. That's why she was there. She came at a time of day when she likely did not want to interact with other people because she was ashamed of her lifestyle. But she came here to this well and she met Jesus. And I just love how it points out here in verse 28. It says, the woman then left her water pot and she went back into the city. So she came with a physical need and she had her spiritual need met. And she left the water pot that met her physical need at the well and went back into the city. Her spiritual exceeded her physical need. Did you see that? She had her spiritual need met and she forgot about her physical need. She had her spiritual need met and she forgot about her physical, at least for the time being. She was empty. She was thirsty. She was a social outcast, yet Jesus offered her the living water that would satisfy her. And it says here, this water, it doesn't just satisfy us, but verse 14 says it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The well of salvation satisfies us and goes beyond that. It springs out of our lives and flows to the other people around us, like we talked about in Sunday school. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The water out of the well of salvation satisfies us. Let's not get tricked with the other things that the world has to offer us to satisfy our thirst. Let's make sure we come back to this well of salvation, that living water that meets our needs. Number four, the water out of the well of salvation sustains us. It sustains us in our journey. We know what it's like to receive salvation. We have that thirst quenched, but we know what happens, right? We start in our journey and we need that refreshment that keeps us going. And I thought about the children of Israel. They had a major problem with thirst. They were always grumbling about not having enough water to drink. And you think about a million or so people traveling in the desert, water would be a major issue. And many times they would complain and they'd come to Moses with this issue, and then God would provide for them in miraculous ways. And we know at least two times God brought water out of the rock for them. One was in Exodus 17, verse 6, where God told Moses to strike the rock, and he did, and water came pouring out and met their need. And then Numbers chapter 20, God told Moses to speak to the rock, and he ended up striking it again, and God kept him from going into the promised land because of that. But both times God brought water out of a rock. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This verse caught my attention in a new way as I was studying this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read the verse 1 to 4. Paul refers to this drink in the wilderness. It says, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We remember that. And were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. This is verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The thought I want to pull out of here is this rock that followed them. Now, when I think of the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness, I think of the pillar of fire and the cloud and God leading them. But here Paul says there was this spiritual rock that followed them and sustained them in the wilderness. And we find ourselves in a wilderness sometimes as well, don't we? Maybe some dry places, some dry experiences in our spiritual walk. And this rock of Christ is what sustains us in those dry times. And we can find this refreshment and fulfillment when we come back to this water that comes from the well of salvation. It sustains us as we travel through life. Number five, the well of salvation empowers us. And I want you to turn to John chapter 7. I'm going to read two verses here. This water out of the well of salvation, it empowers us to go and do the work that we're called to do. John chapter 7, verse 37 says, in the last day, John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And at first, this seems like a somewhat random statement of Jesus. Just at the end of the feast, he stands up and says, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And I started doing some studying on this this feast, and it was the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe it was, which was a feast to commemorate the water that God had provided for them in the wilderness. And part of their ritual or their ceremony was to every day take a pitcher from the temple and go to the pool of Siloam and dip it in, get the water out, and bring it and pour it over the altar as a remembrance of God providing the water for them in the wilderness. And they would do that for 7 days in a row. And then on the last day, or the eighth day of the feast, they would not do that as a memorial of them entering the promised land where there was plenty of water and plenty to drink. And Jesus here, it says here, in the last day of the feast, he stands up and says, if any man thirst. So the day that they were not going to pour water, the day that they were remembering the provision, the physical provision in the promised land, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and to drink. So this promised land, even though it provided for the physical nourishment of the children of Israel, it still left them spiritually thirsty, didn't it? We got there, and then they started to turn to idols. It just did not meet that thirst of mankind. And so the thirst that mankind has is met in the man Jesus, the one who said, I thirst, where we started this morning. But what also another thought that stands out here is in verse 38, Jesus says, come to me and have your thirst quenched, but it doesn't just quench the thirst. It says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We know that's the Holy Spirit living in us. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. This living water that comes to us, but then again flows out to those around us. Do we experience that in our lives? Or are we just barely making it through life? We just don't feel like we have anything to give out to other people. Let's come back to this well of salvation. Drink deep, be refreshed ourselves, and then we will have this living water that can flow out to those around us. So I'd like to just close with a couple questions. This week, did you feel thirsty? If you did, and I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, if you were thirsty, how did we meet that need? Was it to work harder? Was it to fill that void with a hobby, a recreation, a business? How do we meet that need? Or do we go to the well of salvation and have that thirst quenched? Are we going back to those broken cisterns like they did, like Jeremiah was rebuking them and warning them? Do we go back to those things that we're able to create and try to quench our thirst? Or do we go back to the well of salvation? There's only one place that our thirst can be quenched. Are we going back to that? Or maybe we're just going to the things that Satan offers us, the things that he says will quench our thirst. We know our spiritual man knows it's Roundup, but our physical man turns to that and takes it in because it gives us that short burst of refreshment. Just want to remind us to go back to the well of salvation That's where our thirst can be quenched. And it meets that deepest need that we all have, and we can find refreshment yesterday, today, and as much as we need it. God bless you as you look to Christ for your refreshment and sustainment. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for the opportunity we have to drink from the water out of the well of salvation. Lord, so many in this world are drinking from different fountains, trying to find this fulfillment. But Lord, thank you that we have been taught, we have been instructed, and we know where to find salvation. And we've experienced it, Lord. And we have our soul's need met. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to turn away from the short-term refreshment, the things that quench our thirst for a little bit, but then come back and leave us thirstier than we were before. Just pray, Lord, that there's someone here who has not yet drank from the well of salvation, who has not had their sins forgiven and washed away, that they would come. The invitation is open to come and drink and to have our thirst quenched. Lord, I pray that you would help us to always go back to this well of salvation for our needs, and that we never think that we are above or don't need refreshment from you, Lord. Help us to look to you for strength every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.